It is 7:05. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. What a glorious morning the good Lord has given us. I hope you go out and do something great today. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at stovesofmaine.com. Well, it's a good Friday. Sean Moody's in the house. Good morning, Sean Moody.
Good morning, Dee Dee and Ray. Looking over your shoulder, beautiful sunrise.
Boy, I'm telling you, it's a great day.
Yeah.
Plus, I love the photo you sent me this morning. You wrote the word yay on a sheet of paper and put it over your head. That's what I say, yay.
That's why I share with my granddaughters. You know, we get that yay saying.
Yeah.
You do it different ways. Sometimes they'll come and I'll put it on the... When they come in the front door,
yeah,
or the garage door there, they'll see yay inside.
Nobody says yay if they aren't happy to see you.
That's right.
That's a fact.
You can spell it frontwards, backwards.
That's exactly right. It still comes out the same, doesn't it? Speaking of saying yay when somebody comes to see you, he came to see me on Tuesday. His name is Mike Shepherd. He was on my podcast, It Might Just Be Me, and provided some wonderful insight to what's happening in Maine. And now he's back again. He must not have had a bad time on the podcast. What do you think, Sean?
I think Mike enjoys the camaraderie, and I think he enjoys the, you know, the back and forth.
Absolutely.
He's good.
Mike Shepherd is the political editor for the Bangor Daily News, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. I did not have a bad time.
Yeah, you're not tired of talking to me yet?
No, not me. I mean, maybe a little, but maybe, you know, give me till election day. Give me till election day, Ray. We'll see where we are then.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if it goes the way we think it's going to go, we're going to be doing some dancing. I'm losing some weight here. I'm down 47 pounds now. I'm going to be doing some dancing come election day.
Yeah, don't count your dancing before it hatches.
Oh, I've been working on the steps, man. I can do it. Michael Flatley's got nothing on me, brother. Shawnee, you had some things, and the really important stuff, as everyone remembers who's listened to the show, we were promoting a caravan led by Dennis Nickerson of Affordable Builders down to North Carolina. They left yesterday. The Brad Dyer, Joel Chapman, Chris Pete caravan left this morning at 2. Oddly enough, both caravans had a flat tire on one of their trailers.
Yeah, I get a feeling they probably had those freighted pretty good. I don't think they went over the scales before they left. Those little trailer tires get, they get hot.
They do get hot very easily. So you got some stats for us here.
I do. I called Dennis this morning. His crew is about 3 hours out of Platon, North Carolina. They've got 7 trucks and 7 trailers. And what's remarkable is John and Cindy Smith had gone. They're going on a kind of a... they have a motorhome, and they go across country, you know, get some time off when they can. So they met them this morning. Last night, John and Cindy were there where they stopped and cooked them all a steak dinner.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Wow. Great Falls Construction. Yes. Absolutely. Good people.
And the Ford, you know, Ben Smith, obviously, and Kobe, Jake, and all three of their sons were with them. I think they said they had 4 Smiths in the caravan itself. So they're
well, there was a
threat
that Ben was going to be driving one of Great Falls Construction big trucks. And we talked about it here on the air, and I think maybe John was like, you know, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think Dennis was concerned about his insurance rates going up.
I think so.
Anyway, they headed for Biltmore Church. They're going to be there in 3 hours. Volunteers are waiting and ready. They have 14 pallets of... you name it, anything ranging from diapers to water to extension cords that have been transported there by FedEx. So that it's a remarkable relief effort right here from, you know, from Gorm and in the surrounding area. So we appreciate all the listeners contributing, donating, supporting. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's extraordinary what Maine has done. It's just so crazy. Dennis got hold of me because of you, Sean. And so he was on a couple of times. And then Brad Dyer, who's a longtime friend of the show, he got a hold of me. Joel Chapman's a Navy SEAL. Chris Pete is a Marine. And they were doing it and gathering stuff. And so 2 huge efforts from the state of Maine, which we're just so proud of.
Yeah, and the destruction down there, people, I think, can conceptualize when you get that volume and the amount of rain, the flooding down, water damage, you know, whether it's a tsunami or a flood or hurricane or whatever, it's the water that primarily does the damage,
right,
and boy, he just tore the infrastructure to shreds. So Yep. No, they're on their way, almost there. They're excited, and they're feeling good.
I just think it's so ironic or funny, whichever word you want to use, that both caravans left. One left yesterday, one left today. They both suffered flat tires on the trailer. You know those bad boys. You've seen the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, right? You've seen the sleigh all loaded up. I bet those trailers were loaded up like the Grinch, like the Grinch's sleigh loaded up.
Yeah, they meant to haul you know, haul a couple of three or four snowmobiles, not, you know, 14 cases stacked of water. That's,
right.
It's quite a weight difference there.
Just extraordinary. Mike, what are you hearing about all of this, this kind of effort from around Maine? Have you heard anything?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit. I mean, it's obviously great, and they're on the need down there. So, really great what you guys are talking about and what they're doing down there. And hopefully they get on their way here and maybe get some bigger tires, Sean. I don't know about that.
Right,
yeah.
No, they're good at pumping up tires, so they'll be all set. They pump everyone's tires up down there.
Yeah, you know, and they both got them changed out real quick, and they're back on the road and going. And, you know, for me, this just represents the heart of Maine people, which is why, you know, everybody knows Dee Dee and I weren't born here. We moved here. We made our adult life here. Yes, this, I believe, is the most scenic place God has made. I love this state. But the people here, and Dee Dee and I experienced it when our daughter was in the hospital at Barbara Bush for 26 days. I'd come home and there'd be food on the steps, or one lady knitted Lizzie a white sweater. I never will forget that. And just the heart of Maine people. And now we're seeing it again on display with the tragedy down in North Carolina. It's amazing.
It is. And we're coming up on the eve of the anniversary of Lewiston shooting,
right,
you know, next week. And yeah, I think that was another example of the resilience and the strength. Because that's when, you know, I've always looked at life. You know, we have a lot of, Christy and I have a great circle of friends, and it's amazing. But I'll tell you, when everyone's doing good, you know, they don't need. But when someone's down, that's when people rally. When someone's in need, that's when you got to be at your best.
Yeah, they will set aside arguments, fusses, fights, feuds, and go help, and then maybe resume it or maybe not. But they will set it aside. I've seen it so many times here, and it's just extraordinary because this is not a state that, where people are prospering in a big way. This is, if you look at the economy around the country, we're in the bottom 10, and yet you would think we were the most prosperous people by the generosity of heart.
It's true. Dennis, I just finish out with Dennis Ray, that he's looking forward to, you said that you'd have him back on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
So said, he was giving me more facts and figures. I said, Dennis, I'm going to steal your thunder. He said he was going to be back on.
Yeah.
So look forward to hearing from Dennis and Ann.
He's going to be on Tuesday, I think, at 6:30 and give us an update on what they've done. So that's really,
awesome.
Really, really good. One of the things we tried to do, and you mentioned Lewiston, we're coming up on that anniversary. Last year, we decided in conjunction with Veterans Ford, they provided the infrastructure for us to do it. We did a four-hour radiothon to try to help those folks. Money wasn't going to bring back their loved ones, but to be in tragedy and be broke is even harder. And this audience stepped up and raised $32,000 in 4 hours. It was extraordinary. So, Mike, I know you see these kinds of efforts all around the state when somebody's in trouble or some group of people are in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, this place is we all love Maine, and this is why what makes it special. There's a real community here. So, you know, I expect we're going to, you know, next week will be a really solemn one, I think. You know, there's going to be, you know, an awful lot going on up in Lewiston and around that. So, I think it's a good reminder, right at the end of this election, right, which has been chaotic and crazy. You know, it's a sign that there's more that unites us than divides us, I think.
You know, I know for the families, they've been without their loved ones for a year now. But for those of us on the periphery, to think that it was a year ago is extraordinary. Dee Dee and I were out at Kenny Chinquette's. He was having a dueling pianos night with Jimmy Champy. And I think Mike and Connie Mercer were there, and David Jones was there, and a few others. And I guess the shooting started at 6:57, and at 7:02, I started getting text messages. And nobody knew exactly what was going on. As you guys may remember, initially they said there might be as many as 5 shooters in 4 different locations. And a lot of, anytime something like this happens, there's a lot of noise that goes on around it. And Kenny at one point said, what do you think? I said, Kenny, I would close. We don't know what's going on here. We don't know if this is a lone gunman or the reports of 5 shooters. And is it still Lewiston or is it elsewhere? I would close and regroup. And so he did, to his credit. And I think a lot of businesses did. They didn't know exactly what to do. Plus, as this began to unfold, the heartbreak of it all, you know, 18 people lost their lives.
Yeah, I if you want to recount, we had three co-worker owners in the bowling alley that night, and one of the co-worker's girlfriends, so there's four of the Moody's crew there, and got out alive. One of the gal that runs our front office there was knocked down and trampled, and fortunately, the girlfriend of our one of our lead techs picked her up and you know, kind of got her out through the exit door. She had several contusions, a concussion. She went to the hospital, recovered, you know, physically fine, you know, healing up from that. But I remember going up. I got up, I don't know, it was around 4 o'clock. I couldn't sleep. And I grabbed some iron and went up there. And I was able to go up around by Swenson Road, up where George Schott's place is up there that intersects with 202 to avoid right. the police. Had a lot of those streets and roads, you know, secured. So I was able to get to the shop, which if people are familiar with Lewiston, it's right beside Martin's on Main Street. So as the crows flies to the bowling alley, it's not far through the woods there. So I'm kind of going up there and I'm walking around our shop in that general compound, the Enterprise building and stuff, just looking if anything was broken or whatever. And I'll tell you, it was an eerie, sinking feeling, just letting that all kind of, you know, just being there, like within range of the site. I can't explain or describe it. And I took a picture. The sun came up. I took a picture, and it reminded me of the cloud formation and the beautiful sunrise. And I was going to post, but I said it was not appropriate to do it at the time. I said, God's on the scene. It looked like a hand, the cloud fingers to a hand over the shop. I still got the photo. And I said, God's on the scene now,
man,
so it's going
to
be okay.
Photo. I would so
I caught
love to
it.
See that
it. The photo didn't do it justice. You know, photo. Sometimes
sure,
the light, it makes it brighter than it really is. Anyway, I remember that I was there, and I still get goosebumps thinking about it right now. But that, it's amazing to me how much life-altering things can happen in such a short period. It's just minutes.
And as I was saying this morning, you know, I am the eternal optimist. I just am. Everything that happens, I always find. I don't care how dark it is, I'll find some light somewhere. I'm just that person. And for me, what I remember most about that, there's nothing I can do about the loss of life, nothing. But what I remember most is how the people of Maine rallied around those people. And I didn't care if you lived in Fort Kent or Kittery, Eastport to Rumford. It didn't matter. They rallied. They did whatever they could. They brought resources. They raised money. I know one of the efforts was well over $500,000 that were raised. I know there's more than that. There's been millions of dollars raised because people don't know what else to do. You know, I said on the air the day we did the radiothon here, money won't bring back the dead. Money won't take away the grief. But everybody wants to do something, and money's the only thing we can do, because if you don't know them personally, that you can't go to them, because that would be an intrusion into their sacred space. And so money's the only thing you can do to let people know that you care.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's so many things that could have gone differently. And I just, a couple of our guys, one of them was a former soldier, and he had a gun in his truck, you know, and just in the bowling alley, they just didn't bring it in, you know, just chose not to. Didn't ever bring it into the bowling alley, and so they have to deal with that guilt. You know, I could have done something. You know, if I'd have been carrying, you know, those are the things.
That's
the
a
intangibles
hard thing for somebody to live with.
Right, exactly right. And they're all feeling that sort of guilt. You know, why they were there or why they couldn't. Somebody could have done something different, not been there. No, it's a terrible. Just a terrible experience. And I think talking about it, and I think honestly having the attention drawn to it is actually healthy for the healing. I really do. As difficult as it is for the people that are directly involved, I think it's part of the health of healing to recognize it, talk about it, and let the emotions flow.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been around anything like this, of course. And, you know, I grew up, right, you know, 40 minutes away. And, yeah, that initial scene is nothing I want to
see again. You know, it just the silence, you know, the streets totally empty, the police presence in different areas. I came in from Augusta along the highway, and when I came down, they were searching out near the Walmart distribution centers, and we were hearing there may have been, you know, another attack, but unfortunately it was pretty quickly dispelled. But yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, just everyone down there, you know, and it was unbelievable. And I've never been through anything like it, and I really hope that we never have to face that again.
Amen to that. You know, I have often thought about, and I don't know them, so I don't know their names, or I would say it, but those police officers that were at the shooting range who heard the gunshots and just took off running and were on scene in moments, and they didn't know what they were running into. You know, they knew what they knew they were running into was hell on earth. They knew that, and they still ran into it. They didn't know if they were running into one lone gunman or God only knows what they did, but they still did it. Yeah. My only point is they still did it. They still went right in and did whatever they could do. That kind of bravery and self-sacrifice is overwhelming. Yeah.
We know David St. Pierre, the Lewiston police chief, and is a good friend. He actually, when we first built the shop in Lewiston, we had a group of police officers. They were kind of doing the second job, landscaping and plowing and stuff. So David St. Pierre actually plowed Moody's when he was a lieutenant or whatever before he rose through the ranks. I'll tell you, he's a salt of the earth guy. I don't know if you know Michael yourself, but salt of the earth guy. And, you know, they have a great police force. They have the equipment. They have the training. And, you know, it's a whole nother discussion about what happened and what didn't happen after the shooting and why, you know, Robert Card wasn't, you know, the dogs weren't turned loose on him. They would have gone in there and got him. But, you know, the feds and came in and kind of locked things down, and the state police, and that was that. But it wasn't the locals, I can tell you that. They were ready, and they were going to do their job.
Those guys Ray referenced, I mean, they were there in 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Which tells you an awful lot about how quick this whole thing developed. And the shooting range is up close to the bowling alley up there, and they were there. It was really an elite response when you looked at
right.
I mean, we've gone through and looked at responses to mass shootings, and this is amazingly fast. It just shows how quick, you know, the shooter got in and out of that first location, and then, you know, obviously we know what he did after that.
Right. Yeah, they so trained, you know, they've yeah. all that training, Michael. We actually painted a tactical, it was like a Humvee on steroids that we painted that up for them. You know, they have the heavy iron up there, a tactical unit squad with the, you know, with the that's what they do. They train, and it's a paralysis from analysis. You know, they had an overwhelming amount of support that came, and they weren't prepared for how many agencies and you know, who's in charge kind of thing. You know, who's calling the shots. And you know what's, I guess if there's anything I believe to be learned from a law enforcement standpoint, we went through this in 9/11, and they said, well, these agencies now are going to communicate together. And then they haven't, you know, they really haven't broken those barriers. Even with President Trump's assassination attempt, same thing. You don't have direct communication because the CIA and the FBI, the higher you go in the pecking order, the less respect and the less credibility they give the local law enforcement. Right. And it's wrong. It's wrong. And that's what causes some of these tragedies to happen and not be responded to correctly.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, there's no question there's a role for the FBI and the CIA. There's no doubt about that. But it's the local law enforcement and the county sheriffs and the state police. They are the ones doing the real work on the ground that keep the people safe.
That's right, Greg.
And not to mention this scenario, right? A lot of the local law enforcement, I mean, knew Robert Card, served with him, right, in the Army Reserve. I mean, they were people who knew about his situation, right, that were on the ground looking for him. And so it was just an incredibly unique situation. Those 48 hours are unlike anything that I hope we'll ever see again.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, unfortunately, it ended the way it ended. Fortunately, it ended the way it ended at the end of that.
Yeah.
But, so I want to. We're going to have to run here because, it's political time. We have an abundance of commercials, so we got to run them.
Yeah.
But I want to leave this on a light note because this is Light Note Friday. This is from our friend Bob in Kennebunk. We call him the Sage of Kennebunk. He says, "Did you guys know that before there were crowbars, crows had to drink at home?" That goes out to Sean Moody. The other one is today, for those that love Hallmark, and I do, and Dee Dee does, and I don't know about you, Shawnee, but are you, Mike? But today is the start of Hallmark Christmas, and he says, looking forward to my annual viewing of Miss Brooke Burns and Henry Winkler in the most wonderful time of the year. That's a great movie. I love that movie. Dee Dee can't stand it. Dee Dee can't stand that movie. She does not like it, but I do like that movie. I'm with you, the Sage of Kennebunk.
Maybe the first 20 times I saw it, but,
you know, what do I say about Hallmark all the time? Whether it's Christmas or Halloween or just the dead of summer, the unworthy guy gets to kiss the pretty girl. That's all that actually matters in the world.
Chrissy loves Hallmark, I will say. Yeah, she watches that around the holidays.
Yeah, well, no offense to you, but she is married to an unworthy guy, just as Dee Dee is married to an unworthy guy. So she gets it.
She's laughing at home right now. If she's listening, I can assure you that.
She gets it. Chrissy gets it. Absolutely. Hey, Mike, wish you the best, man. Look forward to talking with you next week.
Thank you. I'm glad to talk about it. Take care.
Hey, you got it. 726. At ABC Maine, they don't just build buildings, they build people. ABC can get you on the right path to a successful career in construction. Build your own path with ABC. For more information, email Sherry at ABC Maine.